This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
O'clock hour here on a Friday. Hope you guys are having a good start to your day. Hopefully start to the weekend for some of you as well.
Feels like it's been a long week, you know? Yeah. What about you? Coming back from vacation?
Yeah, always. Yeah, always feels
nothing
that
else,
way.
Nothing else, though. Always, we're going fine outside.
Always feels that way. I can't wait to be at Kauffman. Hope to see you guys out there. I know Vern's fired up. His on-deck show a little bit later on tonight. Getting set for a massive I-70 series with some awesome celebrations. Really good giveaways, too. If you need even more incentive, I don't know if you need it, but if you do, more incentive to get out there. First 25,000 on Saturday, get the replica championship ring. All I'm saying is I got to get out there early. If my nephews don't get one of these things, and only, it's either all or nothing. Either none of the nephews are getting one of these rings, or they're all three getting one, because otherwise it's going to be a problem. So I'm making sure I get out there early enough to get one for them.
Why?
So,
that's not your, I mean, you're the uncle.
We're all part of it. There's 14 of us going, so somebody hopefully is getting there early enough to make sure we get three of these things for them.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'd help you out, man, but I got plans on Saturday night. I got to go to a nephew's graduation party. Just graduated high school.
That's right. You told me.
Got to go to a nephew's. This weekend's got all kinds of stuff.
It is a busy graduation weekend.
We got Desmond's final soccer game. We got a graduation party.
Yeah. Congrats, by the way, to anybody, wherever you've graduated high school, if you're graduating from college in the area. Obviously, it's a huge weekend. I'm not going tonight, but my brother-in-law is getting his master's from KU. So just it's a big graduation weekend. So congratulations to some of our listeners if you're going through that, or their kids, or whatever it may be.
Do you care if I leave early? My sister invited me to her new pool. She got a,
when's that?
I don't know. Today starting at one on a Friday. I gotta be honest,
I feel
if
like
she's listening. Like, you're listening. That's a wild time to invite people. We all have jobs.
Also,
kids are in school. They won't even be off the bus and free until 4:30. There's just no way.
We're already,
no way. Timing didn't work.
With
maybe
our show. Yeah, with our show, you're
you think
also,
this is an invitation?
It might be an invitation.
Oh, man.
Cody, with our show, you're already, like, we're already off at 2. That's there's already plenty of time for me or you to get off at 2 and then go to a pool by 2:30. You can be in the water. I can be in the water by 2:20 if I needed to be.
Yeah,
that's, I'm not doing that. Pool's not open yet.
I could be at the pool at 2:30, but like, you know, I got kids and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind of rude of me, you know.
Yeah, we've talked about how you've tried to weasel your way into the neighborhood pool that's not your neighborhood before. You know,
dude, same offer applies.
I don't know.
As pools are getting ready to open on Memorial Day, let me take this moment for the next 1 minute to request something on this show. If you live in the Brook Tree neighborhood in the Northland area, and you have a key fob for sale, for use, your grandparents, holla at your boy. I am willing to pay your HOA dues in order to get access to this pool.
Yeah.
I tried to offer a physical monetary bribe to a member of the HOA 2 years ago. They would not accept. Thus leading to my thing that you can't bribe people anymore. I've tried to bribe people
People
I've tried to bribe people for karaoke. You can't bribe people anymore. Unbribable. It's crazy.
People said just move
like government officials. That's like the end of the list.
I knew you went there. Just move the show to the pool, someone says. Just move the show to the pool.
Just head out there?
Just stick your feet in the water, you know?
Looks like a pretty nice pool, man.
There you go.
A pretty nice pool.
Let's talk about what could happen in the next couple of years moving forward. Next week, there's a meeting, but the Olympics in 2028, we all know by now, I think, we all know flag football for the first time is going to be in the 2020 Olympics, which, of course, are going to be here in the United States. And the NFL owners next week are going to discuss a resolution that would allow NFL players to participate in under the proposed resolution, one player per team max. So you're not going to have multiple chiefs, let's say, represented on, well, not just Team USA, any country potentially. And this was a hot button issue because there's, if you're the owner, you wonder about injury liability. You wonder about all these other things. It's obviously an unbelievable opportunity to represent your country, though. So how are you going to take that away from someone that has that opportunity? And that's where I think you and I both stand on it. But also, if you're an NFL owner, you're trying to figure out how you navigate this, knowing it's the Summer Olympics training camp, and how does that mess up with your offseason program and everything like that. So the NFL owners are going to try to sort that out next week. And I think they'll come to a conclusion and they will allow NFL players. It's great branding for the sport. Why wouldn't they when it's all settled? But here we've always said, well, Patrick Mahomes, Team USA, quarterback. By the time we get to 2028, is he the best option?
Hater.
I'm just being realistic,
hate,
Cody.
Hate.
I knew you were gonna.
Football, huh? You don't think he can play flag football? He plays tackle football every day.
No. That's not what I said. In 2028, Patrick Mahomes turns 30 this September, so he'll be 33 in 2028 playing flag football. Will he be the best U.S. option at that point, or is a more dual threat quarterback better? I think it's a very fair question. Okay. Would I love to see him represent the United States? Absolutely. But at age 33, is he the best? Maybe am I backwards on this? I ask because James, who is producing today, filling in for Drew, he coaches flag football. He knows the rules. He's got a flag football jersey on today. My question is style of quarterback. Not that NFL quarterbacks can't play flag football. Obviously they can. Is Patrick Mahomes the type of quarterback at age 33 that you think would still be better than, let's say, whoever the 26-year-old, I don't know, dual threat quarterback, you can say at that point in time it's Jaden Daniels, you can say it's Arch Manning, I don't know, right? Will he be the best option, do you think?
Absolutely not.
Oh. What? Come on.
Absolutely not.
I'll get my own. I'll let James first. He is the, on this show, the flag football
expert. Text line
expert.
Says Brady's best years were in his 30s. Yeah, in the NFL. I'm not saying he can't. This is not a Mahomes can't play quarterback when he's 33 in the NFL. This is saying.
But quarterbacks aren't allowed to run the ball. You're just evading people.
Right.
Who's better at evasion than Patrick Mahomes?
But when he's 33, is he going to be better at evading a quarterback than the 26-year-old?
Maybe. I don't know if it's a skill that goes away.
Right now, is Lamar Jackson better?
I think no.
In flag football?
No, I don't think so. And look, James, you're welcome to offer an opinion because you actually do coach it, so you probably do have a better idea.
Yes, 100% Lamar Jackson is better.
But like I watched these highlights of like the highest level of flag football, and the thing that we are forgetting about is how much worse of passers these guys are. Like Patrick Mahomes, with no pressure under him, is going to be able to thread every conceivable needle. Those guys are going to, Jamar Chase is going to be able to go 17 miles in the air for the pass from Patrick Mahomes throwing darts across the field. I think the mobility part is going to come down a little.
Okay, again,
I don't think it's
going to
matter the same amount.
The debate, though, is not whether or not they're better than the current flag football quarterbacks.
Are they better than the other quarterbacks?
At 33 for Team USA, will Mahomes be the best quarterback option for that sport? It doesn't mean he's not the best in the NFL still before everybody freaks out. Oh my gosh, how dare you? We're talking about a different thing than the NFL. And that's all I'm asking.
I'll say one of the biggest difference between flag and regular football, obviously, is there's no offensive line, right? Mahomes has an innate ability to use his blockers to be able to escape pockets. And without that, with a free rusher coming at you,
so it's harder to just make the guy miss.
It's hard, especially with Mahomes' mobility at the age of 33. I just don't think he's the guy. I think a Jaden Daniels, a Jalen Hurts, even a Lamar Jackson, those are the type of players that you want at quarterback, both smart and athletic enough to outrun somebody.
Do you guys think that everybody's going to go through the trouble of like getting dual citizenship? Because I do, and here's why. Because there's only going to be like two quarterbacks.
Yeah, nobody wants to be the backup either.
On the Team USA roster.
Do you think Mahomes accepts if he's not the starter? No. Hell no.
And because the NFL is a uniquely American sport for the most part, turns out most of the quarterbacks in the league are American citizens from American citizens' right. parents. Except not that there are no exceptions, there certainly are, but most of the quarterbacks, a huge majority of the league, operate under that. And I've seen it in other sports, more individual sports, where like if the competition's too high for Team USA, we see it in basketball sometimes, they end up going to be a dual citizen and playing for the other country. And I just don't think it'll work the way basketball. Like, I don't think Australia is going to have a good enough squad. Otherwise, this is going to be Dream Team in the 90s all over again. And Team USA is going to wreck.
Well, probably.
Wreck
yeah,
the gold.
But probably. And yes, some of them will have dual. But like the idea that like Josh Allen's now going to become a dual citizen of France or something out of nowhere just so he can play.
I think he might.
You think? I don't know,
dude,
man.
It's like, the Olympics. People want to get a gold medal.
Sure.
Cool.
But like there has to be some connection to the country. I mean, like, I don't think, you know, the process of that, and we're still talking about 2028. Like, I don't. If all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes was told, like, yeah, you're not going to be the starter for Team USA in 2028, is he running to become a dual citizen of Germany all of a sudden? I don't know. I think the answer is yes. I don't know.
Like, let's say there's. How many teams do we think we're going to get? Like,
The top tier guys. Like, I think if you're the 20th best wide receiver in the NFL, and therefore for flag football, that guy might. You know, I just don't think the biggest star, like Patrick. Could you imagine? Like, I don't think Patrick Mahomes.
Honestly, from
a branding perspective, I don't think he wants to be representing a different country.
Him in particular, I kind of do get it, but everybody else gets to play the same card, which is what happens normally in the non-team sports. In fairness, gold, which is you just be like, here's a picture of my great grandpappy who was, lived in Ireland, you know. You just show some old dusty black and white photo of whatever family member came out of Kerry County, and that's how you, like, stake your claim. It'll look weird. I'm not denying that. You know, whoever in a team, you know, like an Ireland jersey or whatever country, it'll look funny. But, like, otherwise, it's like, what are these teams going to look like? They're just going to get these professional flag football guys from those teams?
Yeah, I mean, because there's flag football leagues already, and flag football is different than the NFL, obviously. Not that the guys can't play both, but just that... like Mexico, right? Like Team Mexico flag football will actually be pretty darn good.
I just, the idea that like Jamar Chase can't even get tackled or Tyreek Hill, those like speedy, fast, agile wide receivers.
Buffalo's basically Canada. Let Josh Allen play for Team Canada.
I mean, it's pretty much just hop on the other side of Niagara,
that's
right?
You're there. That's right. Yep.
So, sure, why not?
I don't know. It's something to watch. Next week, the NFL owners are going to vote on whether or not they're going to allow players to play. And again, capped at one player on the team. So, if it is Mahomes, no matter whoever they have at that point in time in 2 or 3 years from now, I don't know, let's just say Xavier Worthy or Rashee Rice, or they draft somebody that we don't even know exists at this point in time, that player would not be allowed to even go and represent what you're saying, Cody, a dual. Like,
yeah.
So, that's why I also don't think it's going to happen a ton, because every team... I don't know if every team's going to have a player playing, but you only can have one if this resolution passes.
I still think that's a mistake too, by the way.
Someone says, guys, it's flag football. It's not that big of a deal. Who's watching? Well, it'll be the first time ever, and you're representing your country. People are going to watch.
Football and the Olympics, I'm absolutely watching.
Yeah, it's still the Olympics that's going to be hosted in the United States in 2028,
right? I'm more interested in that than like a Browns-Giants Thursday night football game. You pitted those up against each other. I'll tell you which one I'm watching. I know they'll be at different times. I'm just like, yeah, I'll watch Olympics flag football. And it doesn't even matter if the players are players I know. I'm just kind of interested. And
yeah,
I don't know what it's going to look like.
So we'll see.
It's only every 4 years, too. It's such a small commitment to be like, hey, can you watch some of these Olympic events for 4 weeks every 4 years? Yeah, okay.
It's kind of the same reason I watch bobsledding.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I don't really like bobsledding. But it's pretty cool. Like, it's pretty interesting to watch.
Somebody says they're getting an LRZ Wales flag football jersey. He'll be on their squad, I bet.
It depends how many countries can field a team and qualify and all that. You know, I don't know the exact setup and how many teams will be in the once we get to the actual Olympics. And then I don't know how the qualifying stuff is going to work. And that's the thing, is like NFL players, are they going to be even able to qualify? Are they going to have to, like, is the team going to have to qualify and then all of a sudden you know, Patrick Mahomes just shows up and is the quarterback. I mean,
I'm
guessing
it'll be like they'll name
is,
a coach and that coach will build out their roster like anything else. I mean, I would think you would treat it like how Olympic baseball used to work, which is it's kind of on them to kind of make that decision. And do they have to play both sides? I guess, does anybody know in the Olympics that they got to play both ways?
I'll rely on James.
I think it's
on
offense and defense for the Olympics, but
I don't know the rules. All I know is
somebody said Travis Hunter should be the number one overall pick.
The biggest issue that's going to come from this, and someone pointed on the text line, and this is why the NFL owners have to approve it, is the overlap. Summer Olympics is right in the middle, potentially, of training camp.
I see.
And so how are you going to navigate that? Like, our teams,
12-player roster is 5-on-5 format, offense and defense.
Okay. But training camp, you're going to allow your starting quarterback to not... Look, he's representing your country, but he's going to miss 3 weeks of training camp. This is going to be the issue that's going to come up from owners next week.
But I just think you just shut up. Like I'm sorry, it's the Olympics. They got a chance to win a gold medal. This is the backseat time, in my opinion. They do it in every other sport. Olympic hockey, Olympic NBA, baseball's done it before, softball. You don't get to just be like, and this is like your sport,
yeah,
but
NBA,
safer.
This is the only one in which the sport is actually safer than the normal way they play it. Yeah. Men's basketball, though, in the Olympics happens after the NBA season, not 3 weeks before the season starts.
I just think this is the one you just be quiet and take it.
Ultimately, the owners are going to approve it. I'm just saying, to act like it's just not a problem and not an issue for owners or for teams and coaches. I mean, heck, you and I know, for even the World Baseball Classic, there's some people in baseball not exactly thrilled. They won't say it publicly. Not exactly thrilled, with how that goes because it impacts spring training and stuff. So
I think if you've played any international game, you should be allowed to play for that country. So Mahomes should be allowed to play for Germany or next year or Brazil. Or next year, if he plays in Spain, he should be allowed to play for Spain. If you've played an international game in that country, London,
you should actually be allowed to play
for that country in the Olympics if you've played a football game
Mahomes
there.
Could play for Brazil if he has to. Yeah.
Brazil, no, Germany,
someone says
England, he can play for quite a few.
Someone said Amon-Ra St. Brown is German or has a German background, so there he could play for the team Germany as well. Anyway, we'll see. All right, let's get to the trash of the day. We got a Pennsylvania.
I don't think you told him to
trash of the day.
Yeah.
Trash of the day.
Did not warn you at all on that, James. That's on us.
Trash of the day in Pennsylvania. An investigation is underway at a Pennsylvania school district involving a kindergarten student. What happened? You can relate to this quite a bit, Cody, I feel like.
I have a kindergartner.
So a kindergarten student at an elementary school gave out Jell-O shots to classmates. The superintendent said once staff learned about the situation, immediate action was taken. Students were taken to the nurse's office, called the kids, EMS, if they needed to take them to the hospital. Parents were notified, met first responders at the hospital. It's unclear how the student got the alcoholic Jell-O cups. Well, I don't know how unclear. My guess is...
I had some in the fridge, parents, and the kid opened it up and took some. Thought, cool Jell-O.
It's like if Cody had Jell-O shots in his fridge, you know? He had Jell-O shots, and his son or daughter opens fridge, says, Jell-O. Grab
I'm
a bunch.
Share some with my friends.
Give kids Jell-O at school. He gives kids Jell-O at school. They all get sick. Uh-oh. Then you get a call, and you get embarrassed, and parents are livid with you
forever and ever. I don't think anyone should be criminally charged. I don't think that the kid should get suspended. This is a classic, like, learn your parenting lesson. If you're going to have Jell-O shots at your house, your kid either A, needs to know that those are things that are not available to them. Like, I have beer in a fridge, technically, a kid could get to, but they know that's not something they drink. Or B, that you make sure they do not have access to those things in another way. I don't think this is one of those ones that, like, people need to get in trouble for. Do you?
I'm guessing from a legal end, perhaps not, although there's probably a way that the question would be if any other parent tried to also sue them.
Oh, come on. Do we need to do that? Can some of you just chill and the mountain versus a molehill argument and just be like, that sucks. We're probably going to laugh about this in 20 years. Remember the time our kindergartner got a Jell-O shot? I'm not kidding. We would be joking about it that night.
What happened?
Like, just as long as I knew they were safe and okay.
What happens
and healthy,
though?
If it happens again, we got a different problem.
What happens though if your son Desmond, student, gives him a Jell-O shot? He gets sick. He has to go to the hospital right now. You get a call right now. Hey, this is so and so. Your son is at the hospital, and you're like, "What
different
happened?"
Issue.
Well, he's gonna be okay. But Johnny's parents, turns out, gave their kid Jell-O shots, which gave your kid Jell-O shots. And you'd be like, oh, I want to go march down and chew out those parents right away.
I think that the parents are immediately, just as long as they're reasonably decent parents, they immediately probably feel guilty. Because if it was like me that this happened to, If it turns into like a medical issue, we're having a different problem. But if they just go to the nurse's office and they're okay, I would like to think we press it. Can I say?
Oh, no, the kid shouldn't get in trouble. I'm not saying the kid should get in trouble.
I hadn't thought about this story in so long. Now, just yet another thing I was getting in trouble for in my life. Senior year of high school, I'm in a home ec class, like a cooking class. Mm-hmm. I didn't need very many credit hours. Originally, I had this grand plan to like graduate in 3 years. So by the time senior year came around, I didn't really need much. So I was taking a bunch of soft courses. So I was taking a cooking class in which at the end we had to prepare a meal. I braised something using a can of beer.
Okay, yeah, yep.
But I was, I was 18, so I wasn't legally allowed to have it. It was part of a small group project, but I was in charge of the meat. I braised it using a can of beer. I then had a student who got in trouble later that day. I had to go to the principal's office and this whole thing and explain it because they claimed they got drunk off of it, and that was the reason they got in trouble. So then the teacher and I had to concoct this lie, and I said it was NA beer, which was not true at the time.
Oh, wow.
It was definitely alcoholic beer, but we were trying to cover our own asses because she gave permission to brazen it. And so, like, everyone's in CYA mode. So we just lied because that kid was lying. He did not get drunk off of the one can of beer they used to braise that alcohol. So then we had to lie to cover our own ass in order to do it. I hadn't thought about this story until you mentioned Jello shots with kids.
You colluded with the school and the teacher to lie to the parent?
Not with the school, just the teacher.
With the teacher.
The teacher and I colluded to lie to administration.
Oh, jeez.
Administration eventually just let it go, and then we went on there. Was I a terrible kid? The more I hear stories of myself as a kid, I'm like, was I a bad kid?
Brother.
Or just like the normal amount of innocent trouble.
This happened when
you were kind of a schemer.
Did you say this happened when you were at Winnetonka?
Yeah. Senior of high school.
If that's the worst thing you did, I think you were all right, brother.
Yeah. I mean, that was like, that's on the list.
The list.
That's the top of the list.
A couple people text again, back to the story in Pennsylvania. They're saying defense attorney here. I could see child endangerment charges and DFS involvement. Someone else thinks is criminal negligence. If there was actually some legal repercussion here.
I don't know. So over on Twitch, one of the guys, I believe at least his title includes lawyer, says, he said, you guys are going to hate it, but I assure you I'm filing suit tomorrow, pressing charges. I'm like, at the school, at the kid, like what's the level you're trying to take?
I bet you can go after the school and the parents, right?
Trying to take down districts?
You probably can go after the school and the parents in that not hypothetical, in the Pennsylvania situation.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's the trash of the day.
It's not my instinct to like involve higher levels of anything, right? I'm not trying to take things all the way up to like the high. Like if something happens in this building, I'm not trying to take it to the highest level.
But if somebody's kid,
sometimes in a school, I'm not usually trying to take it to the principal if I can avoid it.
But if one of those kids actually got sick in this story from Pennsylvania, I'm sure out of I don't know how many kids, it didn't say, 3 kids, 10 kids, I don't know. If one of those kids actually got sick, all it takes is one parent, understandably so, to be very upset.
Yeah, sure.
About the situation.
Again, if my kid's okay and quickly okay, and it's not.
But
like
you're still livid at the parent.
Oh, I'm hot for a minute, but then I'll just tell you, 5 years from now, we are joking about.
Maybe 5 years from now, but in the moment, somebody's still, especially if somebody's parents an attorney, someone's saying,
Yeah.
Not to mention law enforcement is said was involved anyway. Like they don't have to have the other parents' permission to potentially go after the parents.
No, it's true. Anyway. I mean, it could just be like the parent. Yeah, like you said, negligence. But I don't know. It's weird. Just like they didn't give it to him on purpose. It's not like you're letting my kid drink at your house and they're all 16.
Sure.
That's criminal negligence. Sure. You know,
based on at least one attorney on the text line, they're saying that potentially could be the case anyway. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have an update on that one down the road. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. The narrative that is clearly out there about the Chiefs schedule. Does it fit? Is it accurate? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to 96.5 The Fan from the Mission Plumbing Heating.
All right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, coming up later on today, it's a Friday, so Fan Club Friday. We're classing it up today.
Yeah!
Cody has brought a bottle of wine. We're going to have some crackers and cheese. Ben Heisler is going to stop by as well.
I didn't like go way out on it, but I made an effort. I figured we were joking about that little Ritz cracker thing that got stolen, and I figured we'll make up for it.
So that's coming up, 1 o'clock, Fan Club Friday. We got James producing the show today. Drew back on Monday. I haven't heard from him. Haven't seen any tweets other than the one palm tree emoji. Not an actual photo of a palm tree.
Good for him. Staying off social.
It's smart, honestly.
I am off. I am
smart.
I have reduced my social use significantly.
On vacation, it's nice. It's just funny. The one tweet, as we said, was just the emoji. Not the picture of the beach. It was just an emoji palm tree. But yeah, if I was him, and I'm surprised. You know what? This is a real test, because normally he would have been tweeting about the Bengals schedule and everything. So he'll have
good.
Some
he's enjoying himself. He's out on the golf course.
Yes. Yeah, we're gonna find out how it all went on Monday when he comes back. We'll find out the golf. We'll
I hope
find
a starter
out.
On the course yelled at him, and then we have to. I hope he got into.
You
some
hope he
trouble.
Got yelled at?
Kinda
by the golf.
Mostly because I just want the story, you know.
For sure.
Some guy trying to play through, like they get in an argument because you know somebody wanted to play through and they didn't let him. Something.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the golf course, so the story has to come from there. That's all.
In the meantime, let's talk some Chiefs football though, and more on the schedule, just in a different way. There is a clear narrative out there about the schedule and how tough it is. And look, so the first 9 weeks, it's a really, really tough schedule. It is a loaded home slate, but it is tough opening up in Brazil. You have Philly, you have Detroit, you have Baltimore, you have Washington, you have Buffalo. It is a really, really tough schedule. You knew the opponents, though, before the schedule came out. It's just now we have the order. And nationally, there is this thought that the schedule is too tough this year. This is going to get the Chiefs this year because it is too tough of a schedule. Even Colin Cowherd was talking about on his show.
So Kansas City does not have a great O-line, and they're going to try to figure it out, and they're using a backup at left tackle that hasn't really started and been the man from the Niners. So, and it's a hard unit to create cohesion. And if you look at their first 10 games, even the teams that we view as weaker teams, like the Giants, good pass rush. Jacksonville, pass rush. Raiders, Max Crosby. So even the W's could create problems for them. Forget Denver that led the NFL in sacks. You face them. Conversely, the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, look at his career in year two, everywhere he goes. Chargers, revamped run game, high-end left and right tackles, have a cookie dough soft schedule in the middle of the season to gain momentum. So my prediction that the Chargers win this division with a weaker schedule really plays in the middle of the season. You're starting to get dinged up. You're not playing with full rosters. It is really soft for the Chargers.
So add him to the list of people before training
camp. Save that now so we
predicting the Chargers to win the AFC West. We're back to this. Look, the Chargers do have an easier schedule. I mean, he's not wrong. They absolutely have an easier
because
schedule.
Because they were a worse team.
For sure.
And they definitely got better, but not. I don't think that anybody improved more than the Chiefs. I think there's some teams that improved as much as, because you got to remember that the Chiefs improved just by injury stuff, getting Rice and Hollywood back alone.
Yeah, I don't disagree on the schedule point. We all agree that left tackle is a question mark. Those points are not news to anybody around here. I disagree with, though, like, because now this schedule is so, so tough, this is the year that it gets them. They've been playing very, very difficult schedules for the last 5 years. This one is the brand names are stronger. Cowboys are on the schedule and Buffalo.
Eagles.
And so you got brand names on the schedule. Left tackle, we all have acknowledged. The first 4 weeks, we're going to find out about left tackle. I assume it'll be Jalen Moore starting, not Josh Simmons. But we're going to find out if Jalen Moore is a career backup, or he's been a guy that's just been behind a future Hall of Famer in Trent Williams, but he's also pretty darn good. That's the question we all agree. And in the Chargers, well, yes, Harbaugh has a track record in year two, and he overachieved in year one. They won 11 games.
11 games, yeah.
Still, can Justin Herbert win the big games?
So the way I view this, and like, again, I could just bury it by being like, you know, the difficulty of the schedule is in, like, you know what the NFL playoffs are hasn't stopped them from being in 5 Super Bowls in the last 6 years or winning 3 of those Super Bowls. That I would argue that that is the most difficult of anybody's schedule than anybody can have, is being in the postseason and playing under those conditions. Okay, fine. Let's just look at last year, because that's going to be the closest. Let's not take 5 years into this. What the team was 4 years ago, we've talked about this before, doesn't really fundamentally matter, so whatever. Last year, here are the teams that they had played and their record. So if you're like, can they survive a difficult schedule? They faced the Ravens, who finished 12-5, the 11-6 Chargers twice, the 10-7 Bucks. They faced the 10-7 Broncos twice, the 13-4 Bills twice, because they got them in the postseason, the 10-7 Houston Texans twice and the 14-3 Eagles. And they managed to get to the Super Bowl. So like it's very like, and it's not just Colin Cowherd. It appears.
Yeah, I mean the Eagles one doesn't. The Eagles one they played in the Super Bowl. Fine. I don't know if I would throw that one fine. In, but yeah.
But like it seems to be that the collective national narrative this year, what they're leaning towards in this scenario, is a national narrative of the schedule's too tough, and that's finally going to get Kansas City. This is, in my opinion, the only team you cannot make that argument for. They have been in the playoffs every year and going to the Super Bowl every year. What about the schedule slows them down?
Yeah, I think the offensive line, while it's a question, last year there were plenty of questions on the offensive line then, and they played the schedule you just laid out and won 15 games with major left tackle question marks. They had, as we all know, Kingsley to start the season. Then it was Wanye. Then they had to move their all-pro left guard to left tackle in Joe Tooney, and he played pretty darn well. And then everything fell apart, obviously, for everybody. And the Super Bowl. This year, they have new questions. The left side of the offensive line is weaker at left guard. No doubt about it. Not having Joe Tooney. Nobody's going to act like that. They're not
worse.
Can't
be weaker at left tackle, though.
They're worse at left guard. But left tackle, yeah, like it could be just as bad. There's a chance. But it's not worse than last year. But when you have less... potentially play coming from left guard. That's why it's a, I have no issue with people questioning the left side of the offensive line. It is the question for the 2025 Chiefs heading in. Everybody agrees, but acting like the Chiefs O-line didn't have problems last year and they didn't play a tough schedule last year. And now this is the year. This is the annoyance I think most Chiefs fans have with this whole thing, because year after year during this run, it's always been, well, this is the year that they're, and everybody's just waiting for them to be correct 1 year.
And 1 year you will be, but like you don't get to claim victory almost, if that makes sense.
I think that's the annoyance is, they're winning too many close games. You know, they're not flashy enough. It's going to get them. They won 15 games. They went to the Super Bowl. Well, they got blown out in the Super Bowl. See, now they're done. It's just, it's mind boggling. Eventually they will not win the division. Of course, at some point they're not winning the division 20 years in a row. We all understand that. But the guessing game is basically all it is. It's a guessing game for people now. And they have predicted this to be the fall, you know, the year that they fall off year after year after year, and it hasn't happened. And I don't believe when Mahomes is where he's at still under, you know, just now turning 30, 31, Andy Reid's still the head coach.
Yeah,
Travis Kelce's still on the roster. Chris Jones is not 34 yet. You know, Trent McDuffie is now going to play more than there's too many pieces that were still part of the team that was 15-2 that are quality, high quality players. Some of the best still in the league. And you have the best coach in the league. They're not falling. They're not going to win 15 games. I don't think that.
But you could argue that they are a more talented team based on health, based on the one that played 80%. I said, you can make an argument. Yeah, I'm not saying like, I think it's a coin flip. I don't think it's out of the question that this year's team has more talent that will be on the field for a longer stretch of time.
And I think the Chargers, look, I think the Chargers have more talent. Their wide receiver room has a year two now of Ladd McConkey, and they brought back Mike Williams.
Their
backfield has Amarian Hampton, right?
Yeah, that's a massive
to go with, oh gosh, Dobbins is a free agent, so I don't know if they re-sign or not, but
they
have an upgrade perceivably. Oh, Najee Harris, that's right.
They
Najee
did the Harris restricted free agent thing.
Harris and Hampton. So they're better there. We know they're all line. Good. That is all true, but and they spent some money because they finally had it this offseason. But are they won 11 last year? We think they're taking a leap to 13 or 14 wins. I'm very skeptical that's happening. If you want to tell me the Chiefs don't win the division, then that means everybody's down in the division. That means to me that the Chargers won it by winning 11 and the Chiefs tied at 11 and lost the tiebreaker. I don't think it's that the Chargers are winning 14 and the Chiefs are winning 12 and they lose the division. I think it means that the Chargers need the Chiefs to come back to the pack. The Chargers have to still be
maintain
11 and they got to win a tiebreaker. I don't think there's a 2+ win jump coming from the Chargers.
Well, and I admit the big unknown, because he's pointing out there are a lot of good pass rush teams. Max Crosby is an absolute freak, and Denver was the best pass rush team in the league last year, and the Giants appear on paper to have one of the better pass rushes, especially if Abdul Carter steps into the league and is anything like the college player that he was. But again, horrible. And I mean this sincerely, horrible left tackle play for a huge chunk of the season last year did not stop them from winning 15 games. So now it is? Just because the opponents are tough? I just told you all the opponents they had to play last year with that offensive line. Ravens, Chargers, Bucks, Denver, Bills, Houston, all were 10-7 or better, and they faced those teams a total of 9 times last year. So, like, it didn't stop them from doing it. You know, like, and I get it. They won one game against Denver, and they lost one game against Denver. But the loss against Denver, I mean, that wasn't even a real loss. That was all the backup players and everything else in between.
Everybody's aware. Yeah, I mean,
they didn't stop them from doing it.
They threw in the towel.
They just love trying to predict the Chiefs' future. You know how this is.
This won't be the last time. And it's, by the way, everybody can predict whatever they want. Nobody
the
like
demise?
Like,
yeah,
like,
sure.
Everybody can predict any team to win the division.
Wrong.
I think it's just more of like acting like this is some new scenario the Chiefs are presented this year. I don't think it is. I don't think it's a new scenario at all. I think it's what they've been doing for the last 5 years. And they've had new challenges along the way. This one, the schedule, the Chargers, I don't think it's much different than where they've been.
No, I don't. This looks like their normal first place schedule. They got a harder division than the South. Okay, so maybe it's 2 games harder. I don't know. But it's not infinitely harder. Hell, normally we would say they have like Cincinnati looming or whatever on their schedule, a team that's gotten better than them a couple times. Cincinnati stunk so bad they didn't even end up on the Chiefs schedule this year. So
right.
Like some of the teams, I think
it's just wild. The Chiefs could,
it's all the primetime stuff.
The Chiefs could win 3 fewer games, which, by the way, that's still a 12-win season. Nobody should be freaking out. They could lose.
And the Chargers still have to be better.
The Chiefs could win 3 fewer games, and the Chargers would still have to win at least one more than they did last year just to set up a tiebreaker. They'd have to win 2 more, and the Chiefs would have to lose 3 more than last year for them to win it outright. That's a lot. That's a lot that has to happen for a second-year head coach, no matter how experienced he is, still with a quarterback that hasn't proved he can win big games.
I just don't. I mean, again, Harbaugh wins everywhere. That's the one thing that gives me a little bit of resonance. Harbaugh wins everywhere. Doesn't matter where he shows up, he wins.
He proved that last year
by getting that Chargers team to 11 wins. But I'm still waiting for the leap from Herbert. You want to know how they get to that 12, 13 win mark you're talking about? Herbert better be a whole hell of a lot better. He better go back to, like, rookie year Herbert, but like with a little extra juice. His whole thing is he's plateaued. He's never been a bad NFL quarterback. I'm not crazy. He is one of the better NFL quarterbacks, but he never took the step forward like guys like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes took. He just stayed the same. He went stagnant.
Yeah, I was listening, driving home yesterday. Carrington had a guest on from LA. And by no means was this guy trying to say that Herbert's going to go down the same path as Peyton Manning, but he said, I'm holding out one more year. That's what this guest said. And he said, because Manning, I guess, he didn't win a playoff game or whatever till his 6th year in the league, and then the rest is history. He's not saying he's going to be Manning, but his point is that I'm willing to wait one more year. So it sounds like there's at least some people that cover the Chargers that are like, all right, this is the last year.
If you're going to be elite.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so
not
we'll see.
A good quarterback.
I don't know. I was a pretty staunch Herbert defender for many, many years. And I still think from a physical tool standpoint, he's about as good as it gets in the league. But eventually, while I'm not a huge win-loss QB guy, at some point, though, you got to win a damn playoff game. It is on you at some point. And when you didn't perform well in at least one of the two, right, 2 or 3 now, playoff losses, too, that you've been in. So, yeah, to me, like, last year was the year where it was the last year to find out, could he be a top 5 quarterback still or top 10? Now, can he prove that he's not just going to be the 15th best quarterback in football?
There's a lot of people with great physical tools. This is the whole argument on Trevor Lawrence. And I'm not saying Herbert's got a 2-cent head. He still makes some throws where you're like, damn, very few people in the NFL can do that. Even quarterbacks I think are better than you can make that physical play, but can you do it consistently? Can you win outside of that? Like, all of those things are still huge question marks for him. Meanwhile, when we look at the Chiefs' schedule, they might lose a game or two in the AFC West this year.
I thought you just been in the. They might lose a few games this year.
AFC West this year, they could. They lost one AFC West game last year. I didn't, put too much stock into it overall because it was Week 18 when it didn't matter, and the Broncos were. They just gifted, politely allowed the Denver Broncos to enter the postseason by allowing them to go up against Carson Wentz in the final week of the season instead. This week it'd be this year for the Raiders it'd be Gardner Minshew. They'd need to.
That's right. Gardner Minshew showdown in Vegas.
Oh, man. Revenge. We get the revenge storyline, that final week of the season. Let's look at the Chiefs' schedule because I want to ask really 2 basic questions for it. One, where's the hidden loss, which is what we asked to begin the show. But I want everyone's like, let's get a little early shakeout of the what do you think their record is without thinking too hard about it. Before we know if any player has been traded, before we know if anyone's been injured in a training camp, before we make our official predictions on, like, I don't know, September 4th or 3rd or whatever this year when we do that eventually. Because when I was looking through it, I view this as pretty simple, like more vague and then individual. I don't think they're getting through the first four games without some losses, okay? Chargers in Brazil, Philadelphia at home, Giants on the road in Baltimore. There's at least one loss in there. I could get talked into two, but I'll say one for the sake of the argument. And I would guess that that game is at home versus Baltimore or at home versus Philly. I choose Baltimore right now because I've gotten the better of them in the regular season, but I wouldn't go one way. I think they probably lose one of the two games to the Broncos, Raiders, or Chargers. I think they lose two of those games overall. And then I think they lose to Buffalo. So I think they're a four-loss team. I think 13-4 if I just like quickly ran through it.
Yeah. I thought you were at 12. I thought you said 12-5.
I said 12-5 or 13-4.
Okay,
it just kind of depends on, I think the swing game for me is that annoying game we're talking about, that secret loss we'll talk about. People earlier mentioned Houston or Indianapolis or the Jags. 12-5 if they actually lose that game, 13-4 if it's like the Panthers game last year, Gold, where they had every right to lose that game. It was ugly. I didn't enjoy it, but they still won it.
Gotcha. Yeah, so we're not terribly far off. So the thought for me is in the front half of the schedule, the first nine games before the bye, to me, they're 6-3. And it's losses to Baltimore, Detroit, and Buffalo. That's how I have the first nine going, 6-3. Then they rattle off wins. They lose to the Chargers. I know we were just talking about them, but doesn't mean you can't lose to the team if we don't think they're winning a division. They lose to the Chargers. They end up, if week 18 matters against the Raiders, they win that to get to 13-4. If that game doesn't matter, meaning the division's locked up or they can't improve to a one seed or any of that kind of scenario, then they're a 12-5 team. 13-4 if week 18 is a game they have
to play. Yeah, yours is the swing game of the Raiders.
That's where I'm at.
They could still win that game. So I guess they're better, though. The Raiders are better this
year. The four losses in this very, very early prediction would be Chargers at home, not in Brazil.
Okay.
Buffalo on the road.
That's the easiest.
Lions at home, Ravens at home. There's the four losses. 6-3.
So you think they get the Commanders?
Yep.
You don't have any fear Thanksgiving Day versus Dallas. They'll fall apart by then.
I don't.
Yeah, some of the ones that don't scare me at all, like, I don't know, we're talking trap games. Colts at home doesn't scare me. Even though I get it, it's like, it's coming off, it's like a week off a bye where you're trying to stick it to Denver, whatever. Houston, I mean, Houston is the littlest of little brothers.
The question with Houston
unless
will be,
something's going to change dramatically, and then they feel like the most, like, stepbrother, like, oh, nice try, kid. Good job, sport. Like, I don't, like, fear them in any way.
I mean, for me with Houston, so I love their head coach. I think the question with them is going to be, did they improve their O-line? They traded away Tunsil, but they've got major issues there. They drafted some guys. Is the O-line better? Because C.J. Stroud didn't have a chance. We know there's still no Tank Dell after that devastating injury. So what's that offense like? Does C.J. Stroud bounce back after a rougher sophomore year? Are they the best team still in that division, their own division? By the time the Chiefs play the Texans, we'll know if they fix their O-line as well and everything. But right this second, I don't consider, we talk about the tiers in the AFC this far out. It's only May 16th. Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, they are clearly 2-1. A tier above Houston, Cincinnati, maybe throw in the Chargers or Broncos, somebody might want to. Those teams are tier or two below Chiefs, Baltimore, Buffalo.
Yeah, Cincinnati no longer belongs in that conversation.
They're tier two.
They are 14-13 in their last two seasons with Joe Burrow starting.
Jeez.
Okay, so like
either is their star defensive players happy, you know?
Yeah, either you're not doing enough to help Joe Burrow, or he's really good at putting up, he's James Harden. He's really good at putting up as many triple doubles as you want, but it's not exactly leading to playoff or regular season success in the rate in which you're accustomed to. Maybe harder on James Harden right now, but like generally speaking.
The James Harden, the only problem with that
maybe
is like,
Westbrook, would that be better? Would you prefer
because
that instead?
James Harden's whole thing is he's just not good in the postseason. Okay. Joe Burrow did make a Super Bowl.
How about Russell Westbrook? Would you like that
there
one
There we
better?
Go. That's a little bit better. That's a little bit better.
I'm looking for the NBA Cup. I feel bad because earlier we were talking about how excited we are for Game 7.
Of the Nuggets and
Thunder. And it turns out
James
is... How you've been following the Thunder since they moved, or were you like a Supersonics fan?
Yeah, since they, I've got family in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And when they moved to Oklahoma City and got Kevin Durant,
in on the Thunder.
Yeah, I was all in on the Thunder. I've got a Thunder poster hanging up on my wall.
Okay. And,
Yeah, super fan.
So yeah, you were hoping they were going to wrap up that series last night.
Five.
And now we get to true. Now we get to a game seven. I want it, but I totally get why you didn't want it. Thunder still have the best odds, at least they did entering last night, to win the NBA Finals, or win an NBA championship, I should say.
That is true, but
let's see what the updated odds are real quick.
Jokic and Alex Gordon, those guys are veterans. They know how to win. It's going to be a tough game.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Gordon. Yeah, like.
Aaron Gordon. Sorry.
No, you're good. We're in Kansas City. We've been talking 2015. We've been talking 2015.
Panther Gallo last night. I get it. 2015.
Updated odds. Warriors. Thunder, plus 110.
So they're still the favorite.
Knicks, 5-1. T-Wolves 5-1, Pacers 6.5-1. If you believe in the Nuggets coming all the way back, you can get about 9.5-1 to eventually get to the Western Conference Finals still. And then the Celtics, I mean, they're 14-1. I know they won, but so here's what happened. The Celtics rallied around Jason Tatum because he got hurt, and they beat up the Knicks last game. The Celtics are going to get destroyed in this next game. Absolutely destroyed.
You think?
Yes.
Like,
They rallied for one. They are going to get destroyed in this next game against the New York Knicks, which is going to be this evening, where the Knicks are 2.5-point favorites. I am all over the Knicks minus 2.5 against Boston tonight. Okay. All over them. I think I obviously could be wrong, but I am convinced that last game was very predictable. Your guy got hurt. You're back home. You're like, we're not going out like this.
It's time for a show, man. It's been too long.
We got to do this for show back. We got to do this for Jason. All that. Now the Knicks are like, all right, man, that wasn't us. Let's get the series over with. The reality starts to set in a little bit more still that Jason Tatum's not coming back. You can't rally the troops for 2 or 3 or 4 games. I'm not convinced. So Knicks minus 2.5 tonight.
There's one other bet on the text line. They've been trying to get you to go all day. They said the Chiefs will score one touchdown in every regular season game plus 120.
We talked about this last year. It's not, this was an issue last year.
I feel like it should be more like 4-1
or
something.
It's just not good value. To do a 6-month or 4-month long bet at plus 120, it's just tough. Like, you know what I'm saying? For a 4-month long bet.
I think it'll cash, but it's a long time to wait.
4-month bet to wait is rough. Someone said, would you say it's a Goldilocks? If I was doing that betting show right this second.
Is this a Goldilocks?
Knicks minus 2.5 would be a golden lock.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Please bet and gamble responsibly.
Make your own decisions, you know?
Make your own decisions. All right.
Fade or follow.
Up next, we will get to what's trending. We'll talk more about Caleb Williams and mainly what his father and him were saying before he got drafted. And there's some complaints in the past about attendance. And I don't think we're going to hear that this weekend out of Kauffman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.